Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
I'm delighted that you've joined us today on Mom Talk Radio. Can you believe that we are in December and so close to the holidays? You know, just the other night, I actually had the opportunity to go listen to Barbara Streisand. I took my father and we enjoyed the concert. She's an amazing singer, still got an incredible voice. And so I want to make sure I credit this fact, and that's why I'm telling you I went to Barbara Streisand. And I just for the audience, everybody, I was the youngest woman there just by probably about 10 years. Anyhow, she noted that this is actually the fourth time in the last 100 years that Hanukkah and Christmas fall on the same day. So, which leads me to wonder if there's going to be anyone in Chinese restaurants this year other than those who follow the Chinese religions. But Hanukkah and Christmas are right around the corner. And I'm wondering if you are like me. I had the best intentions to go into the malls and pick out those special things. And just about yesterday, I kind of threw up my hands and said, okay, I'm going online. Why am I going to try to go to the malls when I can just have Amazon deliver it to me through Prime? And that's what I did. I went, made my list, sat down at the computer, went on Amazon, and I said, I'm just going to bang it out. And that's what I did. Speaking of Amazon, if you are an expectant mom or a new mom, you got to check out the new product. I actually am one of the founders of the product line, Mother Nurture. It is a line of enhanced flavored waters and truffles, chocolate truffles that you can find on Amazon.com. If you know a pregnant woman and you're on your list, you might want to check it out and pick up a few packs. The waters are delicious. And as we know, it's so important as a pregnant woman to stay hydrated. And often we kind of gag on the flavor of water or the non-flavor of water after too many bottles. And Mother Nurture is a great solution for that. It's got all the things you need, DHA, folic acid, and a whole lot more. So check it out when you are on Amazon doing your Christmas shopping. Check out Mother Nurture, and you can go to mymothernurture.com for more information. Okay, so the holidays came a little early for me this year. I'm so excited. I actually get all of my children all together on Christmas. I didn't think that was going to happen. As you may know from following the show, I have a son who was involved in college football. He is in the coaching world, and one of his team is going to the Final Four. So I was a little, he gave me the, "Mom, I just want you to know if we're going to be playing for the national championship, I may not be home for Christmas." And I was so delighted to find out that his coach actually is, head coach is letting them come home for Christmas. He's got to leave by 5 o'clock on Christmas Day, but hey, a mom will take whatever she can get. And then, my second early Christmas is, one of my kids decided to become a resident of the state in which they go to college, and I get to save close to about $50,000 in college tuition over the next 2 years. So I am so excited about that. You know, that is one thing that I cannot tell you enough. We have the best intentions as mothers and fathers when our kids are born. We're like, okay, we're going to save $10 a week or $20 a week because after 18 years, I'm going to have enough to send my child to college. Okay, first of all, no matter how well you save, there's no amount of money that you could save that will make you be ready for the college tuition expense. That's for sure. But I would like to encourage you, even if your kids are 15 years old, start saving now because you will be so much happier later on. That's for sure. We have a big show lined up for you, and can't wait to bring on our first guest, because if you have a bucket list, he is going to throw it out the window. So when we return, we're going to examine the F list.
Mom's Little Secret. Mom Talk Radio.
You know, right now we probably all have a lot of lists, and we thought it was only appropriate to have with us today the author of the F It list, all the things you can skip before you die. The author is Kevin Preislich, and he maintains his existence in Brooklyn, New York. And he's here today to talk to us a little bit about what we can do to take things off the list and what things we can avoid in life. So welcome, Kevin, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you. So first of all, what inspired you to write a book of all of the things that we could skip before we die? Was it some revelation?
Yeah, I was at my 30th college reunion, and everybody was talking about their so-called bucket lists. And when I was listening to them all talk, I was thinking, I don't want to do any of that.
Uh-huh.
So I just compiled it together, and I said, you know what? I'm going to do the F It list, all the things you can skip before you die. And that's how this idea came about, was basically to take what all my college friends were thinking about doing that were on their bucket list that I thought were pathetic, and creating it into a book.
So tell me some of the things that were on that list. I'm sure like travel and particular football games and that kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I was like, I'm not going to a nudist colony. Everybody wanted to go to a nudist colony, and I quite frankly don't understand why. It's kind of embarrassing. And there's a new invention these days called the iPhone. So people would just take pictures, and yeah, I'm not with that. So that was one that I definitely didn't want to do that everybody was talking about. As well as, you know, there was the flying one. I'm not going to join the Mile High Club. I mean, anybody that's flown before knows that the bathrooms are just disgustingly filthy. And it's hard to get one person to fit in there. I can't imagine two. So that's just not right for me either.
Well, were there some that you did think were pretty interesting?
Yeah, there were some that were entertaining, like, you know, I'm going to go and buy a new, or I'm going to go back and play my old Nintendo. That was on somebody's bucket list to go out on and buy a Nintendo. You know, growing up, I loved the Nintendo. So I decided, you know what, that sounds good. Or I'm going to lose my cell phone for a week. That was, I thought, was a good one too. Let's see what life would be like without a cell phone for a week. And quite frankly, it was a lot better.
So, right. And so, you know, what do you have things on your bucket list that you do, you know, that do make the list?
Yeah, sure. The things that I mean, on my bucket list, obviously, is I like rescue dogs. So I have two of them. So I'd like to save as many animals as I possibly can. So that's on my bucket list. Other things are I'd like to someday be able to take my dogs to Florida. So traveling is on my bucket list, but traveling to warm weather, not freezing cold weather like Antarctica.
Right, exactly. Well, I want to tell you, anytime you want to come down to Florida with your dogs, you're more than welcome. We are a good state for dogs, and we're happy to have another New Yorker here because we have a lot of them already.
Boca Raton is the home of the New Yorkers.
Yeah, right. Everybody has a grandmother in Boca. That's what we always say. So was there really someone who wanted a coffee enema?
Yeah, that's like a thing now.
Really? Like, I've never had a cup of coffee enema in my entire life. So why would you want to do it as an enema?
Because it, I personally don't get it, but people like to, you know, coffee is a diuretic. Mm-hmm. So I guess they think, you know, by, you know, putting it up in another spot, it'll make it come out quicker. But it's a very popular thing that people just like to do it. To me, it sounds disgusting. It's kind of like take a Dulcolax and call it a day.
Right. Okay, and so you had one thing on the list about a polar bear, and swimming with polar bears. Where'd that come from?
That came from somebody, one of my friends, James, said that he always wanted to swim with a polar bear. And quite frankly, the closest I want to get to any kind of bear is by going to the zoo.
Yeah. So what do you expect people to get out of the book? Is it a humorous book that maybe you would use for bathroom reading, or is it a coffee table book? I mean, is it a,
It's a gag book. It's a book that you would get one of your friends that's always talking about the bucket list. You'd get them the effort list. The book's doing really well. It's short. It's very to the point. You could open up to any page. There's no continuity. And quite frankly, it's a book that I think is a must have for people that, you know, want to give books out as gifts for the holiday, or give it to their parents, or give it to their, you know, old college roommates, and a kid could buy it for their dad. It's just a fun, well, not too young because it's got curse word in it.
Right.
But
it seems to me like it would be fun to give to someone who is always saying that they don't get around to doing anything. It would probably be very comforting to someone, you know, like it's okay not to do all those stuff, you know? So Kevin, where do folks go to find the book?
Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon.com, of course, BNN.com, VivaEditions.com, SimonandSchuster.com.
Okay, and you have a website?
My website I go by is VivaEditions.com.
Well, we will have a link to that on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you, Kevin, so much for talking about it. It's the F list, and you might want to pick it up for that person you just don't know what to get for this holiday season. When we return, we're turning the spotlight on one mom who is talking about unicorns online. So our next mom actually is the founder of a private Facebook group that has over 17,000 members. It's a very unique group of moms called Unicorn Moms, and her name is Maria Hunt. She is the mother of two. She blogs at unicornmoms.com, and she's here to talk about it on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Maria, to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So Unicorn Moms, if you had never been to your blog, I can't imagine what our listeners are thinking, but can you tell us a little bit about Unicorn Moms and how you came up with the idea?
Well, essentially a little backstory on how I came up with it. I dove in once I had kids, like any mom, to all the, you know, mom groups out there online, Facebook, and I just found them, you know, they're all really judgmental moms, mean moms, catty moms. And it was just so, I got to the point where it's like, I was afraid to post and to vent because of, you know, essentially all those comments. So I said, you know what, after about a couple months, I said, let me try and see if I can, you know, create a group and basically turn everything, well, make it everything that I hate about mom groups and do the complete opposite. And it's worked so far. It's been over a year and a half, and it's worked.
So what I'm hearing from you is that an age-old problem where moms tend to be very, very judgmental with each other. And I'm just wondering, like, how do you avoid that when you get moms together?
It's really hard, but we've figured out a way. In this group, I have 7 admins total in the group, and they helped me with this vision. I said, look, we cannot allow this, any mean comments, any like judgmental cattiness, anything. So we have really set the rules. And now these women are just so about the Unicorn Mom community and movement that they follow these rules and they love it, because they said there's no group out there like that. So I thank my admins for helping me kind of regulate all the moms.
So what will moms find? Can any mom join your group? Do they just have to kind of be of the same mindset?
they have to be in the same mindset, and then they basically anyone can join. You just obviously you have to be a mom, and we do screen just to make sure you are a mom.
Right, right. And then what about your blog? Is the content on that any different, or how do the two relate?
It aligns with our vision. Our little unicorn definition is on our website right when you come on, so you can see. And it's a mother who's not perfect, enjoys alcohol, has a sense of humor, and couldn't care less what anyone thinks. So that's our little motto. So, yeah, all our blogs, all our content aligns with our vision.
That's awesome. And so do you have to enjoy the alcohol part? I noticed you slipped that one in there.
Yeah, no.
I'm sure that's a little humor in there, right?
Yeah, it's a little humor, but no, you don't have to.
So what do you think when a mom finds out she's pregnant and she's going to enter this really bizarre world of moms, which you have so described, because it seems like moms, there's so many people against us that we should all be for each other. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Like there's so many, whether it's work-life balance or the demands that our job puts on us or the demands that, outside forces, it would seem that mothers should group together. Why do you think it's so that, do you think it's just the passion that we have for parenting and the way we do it?
I think so. I think we all want to think that we are perfect moms and that we all are doing it the right way, whether it be, from what our kids eat to what they wear to, what classes they're taking. They're in piano, they're this, and I just think, it shouldn't be that way. We should come together and support each other, whether you come from any background, any financial, if you're, in the 1%, if you're struggling, we have that common bond that we're mothers and we shouldn't like judge or envy you. We're here to lift you and support you.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really good advice. So I'm going to encourage everybody to check out unicornmoms.com. And then if you're interested and you feel like you're a good fit, you can reach out to Maria to join her Facebook group. Thank you so much for being with us and sharing some of that. You certainly have inspired 17,000 moms to think right about motherhood, and you need to be applauded for that. So thank you, Maria, for being on Mom Talk.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
And when we return, we're going to be talking with Dr. Sandra Reich. She is the founder and clinical director of the Montreal Center for Anxiety and Depression, a very important conversation that needs to be had, particularly around the holidays.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
I am delighted to have with us, because I just think it's very relevant and I think it's a very important conversation, Sandra Reich. She is the founder and clinical director of the Montreal Center for Anxiety and Depression. And the center has had extremely good success over the last 5 years in treating cases of anxiety, depression, addiction, relationship issues, and a whole bunch more. She's very well published and can be seen on a lot of TV and other media. So I'm excited to have her here today. So welcome, Sandra, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thanks so much. I'm excited to be here.
So it's the holiday season, and depression and anxiety sometimes sets in. And I'm just wondering, how do we identify it within ourselves or maybe a loved one that lives closely in our proximity?
Yeah, well, definitely the holidays add that extra pressure, but anxiety and depression in general are the number one and number two, one and two mental health issues these days we're facing in North America. So anxiety often manifests with avoidance. That's one of the symptoms you see is, you know, you want to avoid things. You know, you're sort of starting to think in your mind, what if this happens? What if that happens? You start to worry a lot. So in terms of adults, you'll see that kind of behavior. In terms of children, sometimes you'll see things like stomach aches. And again, that avoidance theme. It doesn't feel good. It's not dangerous, but it is highly uncomfortable. Depression is a little bit more of a lethargy, a lack of interest in things, wanting to sleep a lot, maybe wanting to eat too much, or maybe not wanting to eat at all. Those kinds of things can show up. And the problem is the holidays put an additional pressure on us, because remember, we're watching those commercials. We're supposed to be happy, happy. And of course, we think if we're not happy, happy, something must be wrong with us. So we also have to reduce that pressure.
That's good advice. So what if we ourselves are feeling blue? Like, what's the difference between depression and just a bout of being blue?
Oh, that's a brilliant question. That's so good that you asked that. You know, it's feeling blue is a bit like cloudy days and sunny days. Completely normal. You wake up some days, you feel like you want to take on the world. The other days, you feel like you just want to curl back into bed. No problem. Completely normal. Depression goes on and on and on. And it does. There's no, the sunny days start to become less and less and less, if any at all. There's a complete flattening of emotions. You don't really feel any great happy emotions. You don't really feel any very strong negative emotions. You don't feel much of anything at all. And again, it's not one or two days like a holiday blues, which is normal. It's more of a consistent thing, and you start to fall further and further down. The danger is that falling into the blues, if you let it go and you get into some bad habits, can turn into a depression.
Mm-hmm. And so what do you do if you identify some of those behaviors in yourself?
Well, you know, the thing about anxiety and depression is, bottom line, is they're incredibly easy to treat, and they always get better with help, and they always get worse without. So definitely the first step is to say, hey, I'm not feeling good, or someone I love is not feeling good. Let's get some help. Be it go into a session with a therapist, read a self-help book. We have, as you know, the anxiety videos where people can download instantly in the comfort of their home treatment plans for anxiety and depression, start working on it immediately. And the thing is, as soon as you start working on it, the symptoms are going to lift. Not completely, but they're going to start to lift. And that's what's so wonderful and upsetting all at the same time is anxiety and depression are so treatable, but we avoid treating it and then it gets worse.
So the videos are a great resource. Where would our listeners go to find them?
They would go to www.anxiety-videos.com. And on there, they would see one series, which is straight anxiety treatment, session one, session two, session three, session four, and so on and so forth. And there's also our specialty series where we have things, topics like parenting, how to get a good night's sleep, boundaries and consequences, and the very important topic that you brought up, depression.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's switch gears a little bit from depression. The other thing that sets in during the holidays is anxiety and like a panic attack. And I've been with relatives who have been in the mall and just go right into a panic attack.
Yes.
How do you know that it's, you know, gone over the line of just normal everyday stress to panic attacks?
Okay, well, when you were with your relatives in the shopping mall, they most likely wanted to leave the shopping mall when they had their panic attacks. Am I correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so that's the problem. Because what's really going on is the brain is getting what's called a false alarm. So the brain gets the idea that you're in danger. It turns on your sympathetic nervous system, which prepares you to deal with the danger. But the problem is shopping malls are not dangerous. So if you leave the shopping mall, then your brain now is convinced that shopping malls are dangerous. And now what's going to happen is every time you walk into a shopping mall, you could easily have another panic attack. So the strategy there is if they need to leave even for 5 minutes, that's fine. But they must return immediately to the shopping mall to show their brain that it was just simply a false alarm. It's like someone pulled the fire alarm in the school, but there's no fire. So your brain got the wrong message, and that's okay. That happens. Your body started reacting as it should. You're in danger, but you're not in danger.
That's awesome. So I'm going to say, like, since this person has not been in a shopping mall for the last 3 years, I may, like, pack her up and take her to a shopping mall this weekend.
Okay. Yeah, but she needs some strategies now because her brain has had 3 years now to develop a huge fear. So this is where the videos come in, and this is where treatment comes in. She needs some strategies now to put that, her foot in the mall. Like you being the safe person at first, you start to slowly start to bring her back in, because now it's been 3 years that the fear has built up.
Right. So how can technology be a big source? We only have 2 minutes, but talk to me about how technology has maybe, I don't know, fueled the growth of anxiety and stress.
Well, technology definitely has its perks. You know, we get lots of things through technology, but the problem is that when you're on technology, very quickly a neurotransmitter in your brain called dopamine gets highly excited. And the problem is that, so let's say you're on video games or pornography or whatever it may be, or kids on the computer a lot, which is a very big problem, and the iPad and the iPhone, is that what happens is when they get off the technology, the dopamine is still very excitable, but it doesn't fit with your situation. So the adrenaline in the body starts to go, the sympathetic nervous system starts to fire, and again, it's out of context. So the body, it doesn't feel right. So we have to be very careful, especially with kids. Technology is not a right, it's a privilege. It should be definitely limited. It's definitely a reason why your kids are getting more anxiety.
Before we let you go, Sandra, can you tell everyone again the website that they can go to find out more about you and to find those videos?
It would be a pleasure. So the videos are at www.anxiety-videos.com. And if they want to find out anything more about treatment of anxiety or anything on this topic at all, they can go to helpforanxietydepression.com.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us. It was really good information, and we'll have a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we have Rick Johnson, the best-selling author of That's My Son, That's My Teenage Son, That's My Girl, Better Dads, Stronger Sons, and Becoming Your Spouse's Better Half.
For busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
Overcoming toxic parenting. That's our next topic with Rick Johnson. He is the author of the book by the same title, Overcoming Toxic Parenting, How to Be a Good Parent When Yours Wasn't. And I want to welcome Rick to Mom Talk Radio. Rick, I often wonder if anyone speaks fondly about parents and saying that their parents were good parents, because no one in my generation seems to ever say that when we're sitting around having a glass of wine. But there are really good parents out there?
Well, I think so. I know a lot of people who've been blessed with really good parents. They might not realize it because they didn't come from abusive homes, but probably most families have some level of dysfunction. Really, with this book, though, I was looking at again, people who had come from abusive environments, whether that was, you know, sexual or verbal or physical abuse or abandonment, neglect, things like that.
Well, so tell us, how do you become a better parent? Because I know that there were things about my parenting, my growing up, that my parents did that I definitely did not want to replicate in my household, nor did I want to treat my children in the same way. So is it possible to make those changes, and how do you do that?
It is, and it's not easy a lot of times. You know, the challenge of breaking generational cycles is definitely difficult, but well worth the effort that's required. And I kind of outline in the book some strategies that I use to kind of reprogram myself, if you were, because the challenge is not so much saying, I don't want to be like my parents were. I don't want to do the same things and pass that on to my kids. The challenge is, how do you replace that with something positive? What does that look like if you haven't had that experience? And so, you know, things like education, very important, counseling, very important, having positive male role models in your life that you can use to fill some of those voids with are very important. So a lot of different steps that you can take. Again, it's not easy to reprogram our brains and develop new neural pathways, but it is possible and it's definitely worth it. My goal with this book was to give people some hope and encouragement who come from environments where maybe they don't have a lot of hope that they're going to be able to change those cycles.
Yeah, and maybe this is not an appropriate example, but it's one that I can relate to. I grew up in a household where my mother suffered from very, very severe anorexia and bulimia. And what I noticed when I became a parent was changing your mental thoughts around food, because each one of my siblings and I have very distorted, I think, thoughts around right. food and eating because of that, you know, and, right. and reflection. And it really does. It you know, I caught myself several times after I became a mom, you know, like you don't need to lock up the Oreo cookies in a normal closet if you want to develop normal eating habits for your children, you know. It's okay to have one, you know. So to your point, it just seems like you have to take a really hard look at yourself in order to make some of those changes, because the behavior, you were bred that way.
Right. And often we don't know what we don't know. So right. I can remember, you know, first being married and thinking things were normal, the way I would do things. And my wife was like, that's not normal. I'm like, yeah, it is. That's the way we did it growing up. And I grew up in a normal family. Well, obviously it wasn't. It was a very abusive family. But, you know, people from abusive environments are in denial a lot of times. And so it does take some introspective, you know, soul searching on our part, if you will, to admit there's a problem. You kind of hit the nail on the head, too, about saying when you had kids. Because I know a lot of people from abusive environments that are able to stuff a lot of things and live a, quote, normal life until they have kids. And then it kind of brings right. out all those different behaviors that we said we would never do with our children, right?
Right, exactly. So how important do you think environment versus genetics is in the development of a child? And we just have 2 minutes, so can you give me the two-minute answer?
Yeah, and I think they both play a role, but I think with abuse, obviously, environment is a huge factor. Again, you know, trauma experienced at a young age when our brains are developing develops our brain in certain ways, and you know, the brain's main function is for survival, and so we develop those very highly in that environment, and maybe not other areas that we need to be successful in life once we get out of those that type of an environment. And I think that's part of the challenge for people, is to recognize that maybe those skills aren't so helpful once we get away from there.
Well, that's really good advice, and I want to remind everyone where they can go to read more about you and get some more of your insights. They can go to betterdads.net, and Rick has a ton of content there, and you can find all of his books. You Must Not Sleep, because you parent and you write a lot of books, Rick, but I really appreciate you sharing some of your busy schedule with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we come back, I've got something from the archives that I'm pulling out, one of my favorite shows. I'm excited to have with us an author of more than 30 books for children, and many of them are included on the New York Times bestseller list. He is Todd Parr. He is the author of the I Love You book, which I have read multiple times to my children, the Earth book, and the Thankful book. He lives in Berkeley, California, where a lot of amazing and interesting things happen. And I'm delighted that he has decided to share some of his time with Mom Talk Radio today. So hello, Todd, welcome to Mom Talk.
Thank you. Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Well, I'm excited to talk to you because you've written so many great books. I'm kind of wondering what's going on these days with you and what kind of books are coming down the pike.
Well, the newest one that's just out in November, the Goodbye book, was a really long one for me because I've been thinking about it for years, how to touch upon this topic of saying goodbye without being specific to anything. So when it finally hit me after years, I couldn't wait for this book to come out. And so now it's out, and then next year I have a in April called Teachers Rock, And that mm-hmm. just turned out amazing because it was just celebrating teachers and all the good that they do. But I kept it real, like what they deal with every day. And then, you know, also made it fun for going to school. So I'm really excited about that one. And you know, there's three more down the road
wow.
for that. I did It's Okay to Be Different in 2001. And towards the end of next year, the current version of It's Okay to Be Different is going to be called Be Who You Are. So I'm excited about what I have, what I've done and what's coming up.
Well, I love your books. And I'm just wondering, it seems like everybody kind of has a book, a child's book in them, or they aspire to write one. Where do you come up with your ideas? And I mean, the fact that you said it took you a long time to write this, they're so good that it seems like it shouldn't take a long time, but why does it?
You know, I think the thing with me, and I've learned to embrace this, is when I started out, I was a struggling artist. That's what I wanted to do was art. I was putting messages on my artwork. It wasn't kids publishing that I even thought about. I was probably because I was intimidated by the whole fact of writing. And you know, through, you know, a lucky break and being able to experiment with putting messages on my art, I learned to kind of tell a story in a non-traditional way. And it wasn't, you know, embraced right away as you know, what are these books? And, you know, I didn't know anything else. And I think, you know, in the very beginning, somebody had said at one of my first book signings at FAO Schwartz in New York that their family was there. They actually thought that I had a six-year-old that did the illustrations for these books. And I went, oh, no, this isn't good. But now I've come to embrace that because, you know, kids immediately, they look at my work. They think they can, you know, they can draw just like me. I encourage it. I ask them how many think you can draw better than me. Everyone, raise your hands. And, you know, it allows me the ability now to touch upon some of these things that are kind of complicated, like peace and the earth and saying goodbye in this very simplistic way. And, you know, it's like my art style. It's evolved as far as, you know, I'm concerned, but to other people, it would be, you know, you didn't come very far from, you know, where you were at. But for me, I mean, I'm speaking from the heart in everything I write about, so that's easy. I'm not trying to be somebody I'm not. My art style is who I am. So all of that just kind of flows for me really easy. And then that, now I think about, you know, being specific. How can I help make a difference? You know, write a book about mistakes because kids are afraid to make mistakes. They're not taking chances and they're not learning. And so, you know, there just seems like an endless amount of things. And unfortunately, in our world today, things are just getting more and more complicated that there's so much
absolutely
to be able to help kids.
Well, I want to let everyone know that the book is out. It's awesome. We have a link to your latest book, Todd, on Mom Talk Radio. And I want to thank you so much for joining us today on the show. And I want to thank you for joining us. We're inside of a few days till the holiday season. Geez, I guess I should say Merry Christmas tonight because we won't get to talk to you until after the holiday. So Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope that Santa brings you everything that you want. And I'm looking forward to bringing in 2016 with you here on Mom Talk Radio. I'm Maria Bailey and hope you have a great holiday season.